What is an archist? Well, I would define an archist as someone who seeks to impose his will on other people by force, by threatening, by intimidating, by saying, if you do this, I'm going to hurt you, or if you don't do this, I'm going to hurt you. You're an archist if you try to make other people think what you think they should think, or do what you think they should do, and you threaten them. That's an archist. Politicians use a number of techniques. Politicians are the best example of archists. They will threaten you with an IRS audit. They will threaten to take money out of your paycheck. They will put a lien on your house, imprison you, tase you, or ultimately they'll kill you. They will drop bombs on you. They will torture you. They will use the sword. That's the thousands of years we've described the state in terms of being the sword. Well, that's what archists do, and I am not an archist. So even though I'm the most socially conservative candidate in this race, I do not believe in making people do or believe what I think they should do or believe by the use of force, and that includes the use of government laws. I am not an archist. Now you might ask, well, where did you come up with that word archist? Well, I got it from the Bible. I don't know if I invented the word archist, but what it is a transliteration. That is to say, the word archist appears in the Bible, but none of the translations translate it as archist. I've got one translation here. Here's the situation. In the Gospel of Mark chapter 10, the disciples are arguing about who gets to be the greatest in the kingdom because they thought they'd get to be archists. They thought the Messiah was going to be an archist. They thought the Messiah was going to come and overthrow the Roman occupation forces. In case you didn't get the history on this one, the Rome invaded Israel, conquered it, and set in place a military dictatorship, an occupation army in Israel. And the Jews hated this. They hated the fact that these Gentile pagans were ruling over them by force. But they were all hoping that when the Messiah came, there would be a great big trading of places, and the Jews would be able to beat up and torture the Romans just as the Romans had been torturing the Jews. And so they were the disciples of Christ at this point were arguing about who gets to be the greatest, who gets to be a part of this glorious reign of beating up on the Romans and hitting them with the rod and the sword and using all these instruments of archism. And Jesus has to tell them that they just don't understand the program, that Jesus's concept of the kingdom of God is a lot different than their concept. And so he says to them, and you can see one translation here, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and the great ones exercise authority over them. Well, he's talking about the initiation of force. The disciples understood this. The kings of the Gentiles, the rulers of the Gentiles, they exercised their rulership by force. Back there in those days, those empires were brutal, tyrannical dictatorships. But Jesus says, it shall not be so among you. Whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life. And that's what Christians are supposed to do. They're not supposed to be like the rulers over the Gentiles. Well, that word rulers is the Greek word from which we get our English word anarchist. Actually, the word anarchist comes from two Greek words, which mean not an archist. Jesus says, those who are considered archists over the Gentiles, lord it over them and exercise authority over them. But you are not to be archists. And that's why I'm not an archist, because I'm a Christian and Jesus says we're not to be archists. This means that whatever I think you should be doing, whatever I think about whatever drugs you used, what kind of sex you have, or what you believe, I'm not going to try to impose my will on you by force, by passing a law, by torturing you, by putting you in prison, or doing anything like that, because I am not an archist. An archist initiates force against other people to get his way, to impose his will on them by force. If they don't do what he likes, or if they strike back at him for initiating force, he engages in punitive retaliatory vengeance. For example, it has been rumored that one of the motivations for George Bush's attacking Saddam Hussein was that Saddam Hussein engaged in a plot to kill George W. Bush's father, George H.W. Bush. And that might be true, it might not be true, but that is an example of an archist. someone who would engage in punitive, retaliatory vengeance, bombing an entire ruler's people, the subject people, innocent, non-combatant civilians who probably don't like Saddam Hussein any better than we do, but engaging in a full-scale war against someone because that one individual did something you don't like. The archist does not respect other people's rights to private property. The archist believes that he can force you and compel you to do what he wants, and that means taxing you. He can take your money and make you spend it the way he wants you to spend it. The archist, I believe, creates disorder. We often think of anarchists as people who try to overthrow governments. But in fact, most governments that get overthrown are overthrown by other governments. And the governments go into those rival governments, and they actually help, in many ways, sponsor rioters. And for example, the United States federal government sponsored riots and a violent uprising against the government of Iran back in 1953. It's not a well-known fact, but it is a fact that the CIA, American United States federal government, helped overthrow a democratically elected government. And they did this through covert action, it's called, in which they give aid to what we call anarchists, rioters, and people who are trying to overthrow the government. The United States helped the Afghans rebel against the Soviets when the Soviets came in and invaded them. It's the archists who overthrow other governments, not anarchists. You see the different kinds of archist systems in the words monarchy and oligarchy, socialism, fascism, crony capitalism. These are all archists. There's some pictures of some famous archists. If you're scrolling down the screen, famous archists in history, some of whom you'll recognize. Maybe you won't recognize them all. Maybe you'll recognize the one of Adolf Hitler. Well, at the risk of somebody calling me a Holocaust denier as well as an anarchist, let me just say that Hitler did not kill 6 million Jews. There's not enough time in his lifetime for him to individually kill 6 million Jews. What Hitler did was he convinced a whole bunch of Germans to be archists. And it was a bunch of German archists who killed 6 million Jews, or however many it was. They chose to wear the Nazi uniform, they chose to walk the silly goose step, and they chose to obey orders which were totally evil. And that's whatever their reason was, their loyalty to the fatherland, or whatever the slogan was, they chose to impose their will on other people by force and by violence. They were archists. The question is, are you an archist? Do you violate other people's rights just to get a check from the government? Are you willing to obey the orders of an archist who orders you to initiate force against others? Well, if you do, and a lot of people in our day do that kind of thing. They are willing to follow orders. They're willing, for example, to grope you and go through your luggage at the airport because, well, I just have to feed my family. But they're engaging they're initiating force against you. They're trampling on your rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness because they get a government check. And that's how the big archists use the little archists to impose their government on others. So to repeat, you were taught in your government-approved school that an anarchist is a bomb-throwing assassin who denies the doctrine of private property, creates disorder, chaos, and overthrows governments, and disregards the laws of nature and of nature's God. That is actually the definition of an archist. That is the better definition of an archist. And Jesus says the archists are those who rule over others, and Christians are not to be archists. Now, some people will say that I should just stick with the Constitution. I should not get into all this archist stuff, and I should not tell people that I think we should not only abolish government agencies which do not have authorization by the enumerated powers of the Constitution, but that in fact we should abolish a lot more. We should privatize a lot of government functions. I believe that capitalism always works and socialism never works. So I believe the free market should be entrusted with all the functions that we want in our society. We want shoes in our society. We want computers in our society. But we don't entrust the manufacture of shoes and computers to the government. Capitalists provide shoes and capitalists provide computers. And they do it very well, and they do it much better than the government could ever do. There's no social function, There's no goods, there's no services that we need as human beings in a prosperous and industrialized society that we need to have the government provide. Everything that we need as civilized human beings can be provided by a free market. Some people will say, why go to that extreme? Why carry the concept to an extreme? Why not just have a Keynesian mixed economy where, you know, the government does some things and capitalists do other things? And the reason is because I believe that archism is immoral. Socialism or government programs always impose their will on others by force. They can't persuade you to give you their money because you know they're wasting it. So they have to resort to force to take money from you under threats of imprisonment or worse. And that's not right. That's immoral. And it certainly is unchristian. But it also doesn't work very well. The reason why, as I say, the reason why you don't want to give your money voluntarily to a socialist government program is because you know it's not the best way to do it. It's wasting your money. And the reason I bring this up is because this is a safe district. The 7th Congressional District is a safe district. And particularly in this year, 2012, this is a presidential election year. And that's sort of like a church on Easter or Christmas. Whole bunch of people you never see any other time of the year show up at a presidential election, and they don't know what they're doing. And their only point is to vote for the guy who has the R after his name. And the fact of the matter is that if I want to win this election, I need to convince 100,000 Republicans to vote for a Libertarian Party candidate rather than the Republican. And I just don't think that's likely to happen. And so you're faced with the prospect of, frankly, having to waste your vote. You're either going to waste your vote by voting for the winner, who has already now proven himself to have a track record of not following the Constitution, by not abolishing those agencies which are not authorized by the enumerated powers of the Constitution. Or you can waste your vote by voting for a guy who does adhere to the Constitution, who wants to abolish those, and will absolutely never vote to increase your taxes, will never vote for any budget which includes funding for an unconstitutional agency or department. I think you can see that I'm a pretty extremist guy when it comes to taxes and spending and going into debt in a way that our incumbent congressman has proven he is not. The thing is, I'm probably not going to win. Because if the past results are any indication, the incumbent is going to be reelected with 100,000 votes to spare. 100,000 votes to spare. He'll win the election, and then 100,000 more people will continue voting for him, even though he's already won. He's already beat the Democrat. So let's look, if you'd like to, I'd like to give you some details from the Secretary of State's website to explain this. The fact that realistically, I just don't have a chance of winning this election. I don't have the money that, out of the 100,000 people who are going to vote for the incumbent, to reelect the incumbent, 100,000 people more than he needs to win, most of them will never even hear my name. They will have no idea that there even is a Libertarian Party candidate in this race, much less who he is or what he stands for. And I don't have the money to reach 100,000 people. So this is not the year for a Libertarian candidate to be elected. However, this is a year in which you can take a stand and you can make a statement. And instead of wasting your vote by dropping your little vote into an ocean of superfluous votes for the incumbent, your vote can send a message. And the message I will report your vote as sending is that you believe the government, the Constitution creates a government of enumerated powers, and that the government should not spend or tax for any purpose that's not authorized by the Constitution. I believe in much more than that, but that's all I'm going to say that you meant when you voted for Kevin